Treat you like you're a little man.
In attendance, for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck
it! So, I apologize to all listeners who, you know, were expecting us on Monday. We are here again on Wednesday, and under even worse circumstances, the fact is, because of obligations with work and other things going on, we are only probably going to be an hour, maybe an hour and 10 or so tonight, just as a special wrap-up. So the way I looked at it, at first I was kind of like, all right, you know, we're not going to have a lot of substance. But then I was like, you know what, let's specialize it. Let's have a special edition of just like a focus point. And then when things clear up, when things clear up and schedules clear up this coming month, which will, the next Monday will be the coming month, things will be right back on our normal schedule again. We'll be right back on our Monday schedule. So this should be, if you know, things go the way that I plan, should be the final Wednesday and final shorter show that you are used to. So anyways, we are here, and we are, well, we being myself and the icon, Jason,
yes,
is going to be calling in as well.
The icon has arrived.
He has been here. He's very consistent, and you know, I got to do it. I was gonna do this to start the show, but then I had to sort of explain why we're a little different schedule tonight. But here you go. Icon's theme music. For those of you who may not know that, check it out. What is it? WWF, is it Volume 4, I believe?
Volume 4, yes.
I believe it's, yeah, Volume 4. So you can go on and check that out. And, you know, with our specialized show here today, we had a couple of topics. Hopefully Jason's able to call in. He's been very busy as well. But we had a couple of things, and one of them that I was curious on, I mean, obviously we wanted to recap the pay-per-view. Wanted to recap Raw, recap SmackDown. But overall, though, I guess one of the things that Jason brought up was, is Charlotte the best women's division wrestler we've ever had or ever seen?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. She's great in the ring, but being the best, I kind of have to joke on that a little bit. Because,
by all means, the floor is yours.
Well, there's been other female wrestlers that have done, you know, more than she has, you know. I mean, Jason brought up a good point. Like, Lita and Trish Stratus used to just wrestle themselves, but I think they were more technical in the ring, you know. Their matches lasted longer. Plus, they never had any interference, you know. I think basically the thing is she's living off her dad's name. Maybe it's wrong for me to say that, but I think that's what she's doing. You know, I like her as an individual, but the best female wrestler of all time. No, I'd probably have to talk on that a little bit.
Well, I mean, watching everything, you know, obviously China started off the whole thing. Then you had your Jacquelines, you had your Ivories, you know, they were the first beginning. Trish Stratus actually started as a manager, for those of you who have forgot. She managed TNA. Really, whenever she did fight, was kind of terrible. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like, bang, you know, out of the blue, she was, you know, the champion. And, you know, for a while, you know, they had Molly Holly up against her. They had, I believe it was, Jacqueline a couple of times, Ivory a couple of times. But, you know, Lita came in. And, you know, Trish really didn't have much competition. Then Lita comes in. They, you know, they become friends, the whole thing. They really didn't start facing off in 2005-2006. I mean, as you remember, they were friends. So, you know, Gail Kim debuted in 2003. Molly Holly was a champion for a little while. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of people, I think the general consensus is that the general consensus is that Trish is the best ever. But, you know, it's not, I don't always necessarily think that that's the case. I think that Trish could be up there. Trish could be at least maybe in the discussion or in the consideration, but, you know, you got to look at absolutely every factor first before you look at, you know, Trish being the best, because remember, she sucked for a while, and there was a long stretch of time when she wasn't the champion. Yeah, she was winning matches, and yeah, she was in good storylines, but she wasn't the women's champ. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, she's good, and she was my favorite growing up as a kid. I mean, I liked Lita also, don't get me wrong. Of course, I liked Lita better when she was with Edge, but that's just me. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Charlotte's a good heel, but I haven't seen enough of Charlotte yet. I haven't seen enough.
Well, you're right. I think she was actually pushed into it, and they just kind of went off that. I got an issue in my apartment here. I'm sorry.
No worries.
You can hear that.
Is that a fire alarm? What is that?
Well, there's one that goes off in my hallway outside of my apartment. And
okay.
It's like malfunctioning, and you can hear it inside the apartment.
Well, yeah, that happens sometimes. Looking at it, I don't know. I mean, Charlotte, I haven't seen enough of her. I think she's a great heel. She's kind of a bitch, so that makes her a great heel.
Hey, Jason, you're kind of muffled. I can't.
You know, unless you're old, you're not going to remember Ric Flair being super good. I mean, you know, everyone talks about Ric Flair being a 16-time champion. I don't really remember any of that. I was always told by Jim Ross, or told by Jerry the King Lawler, or told by whoever, oh, he's a 16-time champ. He's the dirtiest player in the game. But I don't remember actually watching Ric Flair when he didn't seem like an old POS. So, I mean, those people who are watching Charlotte nowadays probably have no idea what her father's accomplishments were unless they looked them up on, you know, YouTube videos or up on the network or something. But, you know, I just think that Charlotte has an edge about her, and that edge is, I don't know, it's a good edge, but in a way I also feel like she's very bland I don't feel, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's like, she's like a female version of The Miz, in my opinion.
You're right.
You know, I think that Sasha, yeah, I think that Sasha Banks would be, Sasha Banks would probably be the more entertaining champion. But again, that's just me.
Well, no, I, you know, the whole, the, I think the only reason why Charlotte is still a champion is because people have, you know, more people have kind of gravitated to her. I think it's because of name more than anything else. You're like, oh, yeah, she's Ric Flair's daughter, so she's got to be good, you know. But, I, you know, I grew up in old school WWF. I had champions like Wendy Richter that I was a fan of back in the day, you know. And she was one of those champions that no one could hold a candle to either at the time, you know. But I mean, it's, I mean, if you're talking about the best female wrestler in this generation, sure, Charlotte has got it. But comparing her to the best of all time, that falls a little short.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think so. And you know, I it's tough to tell because there was a time when the women's division was awesome, and then there was a time, you know, during the early mid 2000s, during the McMahon-Helmsley regime, when there really was no women's division, and then there was a time quite recently when there was really, really kind of a terrible women's division. So, I mean, it's really tough to tell that. I mean, you know, because after, you know, after the 03-04 years, and you had, you know, Mickey James come in, and, you know, you just, you had so many different women trying to do this, and I don't know. I like Charlotte, but I need to see more from her. I didn't watch the pay-per-view. I was in West Virginia, I believe. Oh, no, that was the week before, wasn't it? Yeah. No, September 25th. Yeah, I was in West Virginia. So I missed that, but I was able to look at some of it, and, you know, obviously Charlotte won the match. Was it a good match at all, even, or no?
Well, no, to be honest with you, I thought was that the first match?
No, that was the sixth match of the night with Charlotte with Dana Brooke against Bayley and Sasha.
I thought the first match was the best match of the night. The cruiserweight The cruiserweights are not what they used to be. I mean, I watched
I
couldn't stand it.
So this TJ Perkins kid, you're not super impressed with?
No.
And then obviously, you know, he defeated Brian Kendrick and the whole shebang. But speaking of the women's division, Bayley, you're not sold on Bayley?
No, I am.
Oh, you are.
I am.
Okay.
I love her technical. I love her technical moves in the ring. I love her ring entrance. You know, I know it's kind of corny, but those big blow up balloon things that, you know, I mean, there's just something about her ring entrance that's really kind of cool. And then. Up on the Titantron, they have like, it looks like Miss Pac-Man jumping around with her. With Bayley's ponytail, you know. But no, I was sold on Bayley the first time I saw her. I liked Charlotte when I first saw her too, but then she just kind of got stale on me, you know.
Well, what I'm really kind of shocked about, honestly, is that they didn't do with Bayley, with all the hype that was surrounding Bayley. I'm really kind of shocked that they didn't do the. You know, the thing that they did with both your girl Paige and AJ, having her win the title in her debut night, her first night, whether she dropped it or not, you know.
They should have, you know. And let's see, Charlotte's held the championship now for how long though? Well, she did lose it, but counting her not losing the title. I think she's held it for the longest ever, you know, because she only lost it for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, but that still restarts over again, you know. So, for the time. Because remember, Nikki Bella had it, what, a full year, I think?
Right.
Yeah, it starts over. As soon as she loses
Nikki Bella, it starts back over again. Yeah, Nikki Bella broke AJ Lee's mark. And then after she broke the mark, how conveniently she lost the title. You know, after she, you know, mm-hmm. it was just a direct way to shove it into AJ's face. You know that, you know.
Well, of course it was. Yeah, of course.
You know.
But I think everybody knew that was coming, too. I think that was predictable. So.
Yeah, and you mentioned Paige. There was a notification that she was backstage on. She was backstage at one of the events this week, and you may be seeing her before too long.
Her being who?
Paige.
Yeah,
yep.
Paige. She's gonna be back. I don't know what show she's gonna be on, but she's gonna be back. Yeah.
Yeah, and. I don't know if you had it. Have you watched? I suppose you haven't had a chance to watch SmackDown or Raw yet.
Neither one, no. But I've read it all. All
right.
You know, I've read what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Last night, you know, let's talk. And I don't want to be a spoiler because you haven't watched yet. But the way they ended Raw was the dumbest ending ever seen. In my entire life.
Raw,
you know,
as in 2 days ago? Raw?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
I mean, you can tell me. I'm probably not going to get a chance to watch it. I mean, you can tell me if you want.
Well, it started out with... I lost my thought. But it started out with... With an interview, and then it went into the match, and then it was just corny, just like last night. Chris Jericho had what's the other POS? The champion. I hate
Kevin
him so
Owens.
Much. I can't even. Kevin Owens. He had Kevin Owens on the highlight reel, and then they. Then they ended the show with a match after the highlight reel. You know, Jericho comes out.
Yeah,
saying,
I read about that, yeah.
Yeah, you're on the list. It's just ridiculous, just stupid. But I'll tell you what, the two good storylines they got going right now, and it's on SmackDown, believe it or not, is the deal they got going between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, the mind games they got going on between those two. It's one of the best storylines that I've seen in a long time. And they also have Sheamus and Cesaro as a tag team going for the SmackDown Championships. Two guys that completely hate each other teaming up to be tag team champions, which they aren't yet, but they are going to get their title match.
Well, why are they going for the SmackDown belts if they're both Raw guys?
What's that?
You said you were going.
Or no,
they're going for the.
Whatever show they're on, they're going for their title.
Oh, okay.
They got them lined
okay.
up. Yeah. But of course, I don't think New Day is going to be losing the titles yet. And I know we talked about that before the air. And I, you know, the only title record, right, current title that needs to be broken is the length of the tag team championships held by Demolition. And I think they're going to have the New Day break that record. I believe it's 438 days. And I think that now, as of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the New Day have had it for 403 days.
Wow.
So they'll be champions for another 36 days.
So basically like another month or so. Which would lead us into Survivor Series. It would lead us into Survivor Series, which is where Jason predicted that they were going to drop the belts anyway. So,
right.
I can see it. Hmm.
And we know that...
That would totally be understandable. But, yeah.
And we know that there's a WWE writer listening to us right now, so it's going to happen. You know? because they can't come up with original ideas. They have to steal ours.
That's very true. They've even stolen them in the show before. Like during,
exactly.
While Raw was still on the air. Either that or they're just very, very predictable people, one of the two. But now, Raw, I saw that there was a rematch with Reigns and Rusev on Raw.
Right. And
I mean, how'd that go?
It ended in a... It ended with Rusev getting disqualified for breaking a chair or bending a chair over. He brought a chair into the ring, and then he got disqualified. And then he got a nice big spear from Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns picked up the other chair, and he beat Rusev to death with it, with Lana looking on.
So that seems like an interesting... That seems like it's going to be a very physical rivalry between those two.
Well, I think those two, that's one of the few storylines that Raw has that's actually making headlines. Even though it doesn't make sense now that Reigns has been pushed down to the lower belt. I guess I don't understand what they're doing. It's like they're trying to ruin his career. Okay, he was world champion. Fans didn't like that, so let's have him do this title. Fans don't like him doing that either, so they sabotaged his career. In my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with it. I don't know necessarily if it's a deliberate sabotage on their part, but it's definitely a step down. It's definitely a demotion. I mean, ever since that suspension that he got, his career accomplishments just haven't been the same. So, who knows if it was a deliberate thing or not. But I just... Overall, I think that's a decent storyline going on between the two. Another one that happened, and I'm watching, this whole thing here. Kevin Owens obviously retained the belt. What happened to Clash of Champions? What happened at Clash of Champions? Because that was going to be. I mean, I really thought maybe Seth Rollins might be the one to come in and take that. So what happened exactly?
Well, at Clash of Champions, it was. It was a boring pay-per-view. It was a boring pay-per-view. It was terrible. Seth Rollins got he basically got screwed by Owens, and the match ended the way that we predicted it was going to be, with Kevin Owens retaining the title.
We didn't see Triple H, though.
Yeah, well, the Triple H, he made appearance at the end. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he came and picked Stephanie McMahon up in a limousine. They shared a nice kiss, and then they got in the limousine, and then they left.
So
but,
obviously, maybe
I think you're going to see it. We're
that
going
was
see
to
more
tell
Triple
people
H
that
now.
They are in cahoots. Well, maybe that was to tell people that they were. We thought maybe it was the thing when it's going to get and the authority is going to take back over and all that. But I don't know. You said that Rollins got screwed by Owens. How did that happen? I'm probably not gonna go back and watch it. I don't have time, so just fill me in if you want to. But
well, the way that he screwed him was the way that he did was he had him up on the top rope, okay, and then he came down with Seth Rollins' ribs on his knee, And that, I guess that either fractured or caused bruising on his ribs, and Seth Rollins couldn't continue after that move. So basically, the match would have went on a little longer if it wouldn't have ended like that, because you can definitely tell that Rollins couldn't go anymore because of that move. But which is turnabout is fair play, because how many people have Seth Rollins injured because of him?
So Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins then is injured now, or?
Well, yeah, the way I understand it is they've told him that he cannot, Seth Rollins can't do his move anymore. You know, the throwing him into the turnbuckle.
Which is kind of funny, because Seth Rollins talked about that last night on the highlight reel. Okay, Seth Rollins has hurt this guy. He's hurt this guy. He's hurt this guy. But he didn't hurt me. You know? And he went through everything that UI and Jason went through, of who he's hurt, Sting, who else?
Well, Finn Balor, most notably, Finn Balor, a bit, Dean Ambrose once. I mean, yeah, he's went through the list. He's run through the gauntlet.
Yeah, and Kevin Owens had made a. It kind of made a mockery about that. He's like, okay, so he's injured this many people. I injured him once, you know. If you have a chance to go back and watch it, I mean, it was kind of a devastating move that, and it really hurt him badly, because you can almost see his rib go up and fracture. It was that devastating of a maneuver.
The better show.
Well, I couldn't hear you. You're breaking up again.
Oh, sorry. Has SmackDown been the better show recently? As it usually is, or no?
Yeah, SmackDown definitely won the week.
Okay, because Jason.
Okay, you're breaking up again. I can't hear you.
Yeah, it's just because I'm trying to set everything up at the same time. I said Jason said that Flash was also the better pay-per-view.
He said what?
Backlash was the better pay-per-view over Clash of Champions?
Oh, yeah, without question. SmackDown has got a formula that's working. That's why, you know, Raw is just... How you want to say it? Raw is becoming the second-rate show, and it's not supposed to be. It's just working out that way. I mean, SmackDown has got better storylines than Raw does. The only storyline, really, that Raw has right now is with Rusev and Reigns. I mean, SmackDown has got this thing going on with AJ Styles and John Cena and... Dean Ambrose, those guys are going at each other's throats. You have the whole deal with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. I mean, if you would have seen that segment last night, it starts out with Randy in the ring. I'm going to tell you this since you probably won't get a chance to watch. It starts out with Randy in the ring. And then, you know, Bray Wyatt does his thing when he comes out and does this spookiness thing, whatever you want to call it, before he blows out the light. Okay? And then...
Yeah, like he usually does, yeah.
Yeah, and then every 20, 25 minutes or so, after a match is over, he appears on the Titantron again. He said, Randy, where are you, Randy? I'm right here waiting, Randy. And then the last cut-in, Bray Wyatt is talking about Randy Orton being a coward and everything, and all of a sudden there's a spotlight that's behind Bray Wyatt's back, and it's Randy Orton wearing the lamb face, you know, that he takes off the lamb face. Bray Wyatt turns around and looks at him, and then Randy Orton knocks him senseless. He didn't give him an RKO backstage, wherever the heck they were at, but he beat him up. It was awesome. Then Randy Orton put the mask back on, and then he starts saying he's got the whole world in his hands.
That does sound pretty interesting. And is that how the show went off the air, or was it like in the middle of the show?
Well, that was just before the main event between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles for the championship. The first time
the
championship is, it ended with AJ retaining the title by a disqualification. And then
I hate that shit though. I love when there's a clean win, especially in a title match. But it makes sense. All right.
And then, of course, John Cena was doing commentary. And then he goes in the ring, confronts Dean Ambrose. And then both Dean Ambrose and John Cena kind of team up a little bit to fend off AJ Styles.
So basically it's a boiling cauldron over there on SmackDown right now.
Right, and those three are going to go at it in a triple threat match in the next pay-per-view. And, of course, you know,
right.
John Cena's been, you know, because if he wins, he's the 16-time champion, which has only been done by one person, Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So are we looking at John Cena breaking this record? Possibly. Is AJ Styles doing a good job at champion? So, but does he deserve the title? No. Does John Cena deserve the title? No. It should go back to Ambrose. He actually made it interesting when he was the champion. I mean, to me, yeah.
1, 2, you hear the clock ticking.
Tick-tock.
You about to stop living.
Tick-tock.
I want you to remember me.
Tick-tock.
But the day don't have no memory.
I'm coming.
Nobody can stop me. Nobody can hold me. Nobody control me.
I'm coming.
I'm here to do my thing. I'm here to bring the pain. I'm never ever gonna change.
I'm coming.
Nobody can stop me. Nobody can hold me. Nobody control me.
I'm coming.
You know that music signals the entrance of Mr. Coordinator Jason, the third co-host here on our show. And just so you know, we're doing a specialized show here. I have to work at 8, and it's about a half-hour drive, so I'm probably going to cut this off around 7:25 or so I have time to get down there. So it's a specialized topic show today, and then we'll be back on schedule again on Monday, taking you through the end of Raw from 10 to 11 Eastern and 9 to 10 Eastern out there in North Dakota where the Icon is. But Jason, we were talking a little bit about I didn't get a chance to watch Raw or SmackDown or Night of Champions because I was in West Virginia, or Clash of Champions, whatever they call it now. Because I was in West Virginia for a wedding. Raw was my brother's birthday, and then SmackDown last night I caught glimpses of bits and pieces of here and there, but I've been so super busy. But wanted to get your take on this real quick before we jump down the ranks here. You said you think Charlotte might be the best female wrestler of all time.
Yeah, I'm looking at her short body of work in the 2 years she's been here. Her record in pay-per-view matches holding a title, it's unblemished at 12-0. She's technically sound. She has Ric Flair's, you know, genetic makeup. Not to mention, she also has the gift of gab like Ric Flair. I really think Charlotte, you know, if I had to think about Moolah, Lita, Trish Stratus, I'm talking about all the female wrestlers throughout the years. I'm going to have to pick Charlotte number one. If I'm drafting for a female brand of wrestling, I'm going to take Charlotte number one.
I like it. I mean, I didn't know about the 12-0 mark. Didn't she lose when she lost it to Sasha Banks? Was that on Raw?
That was on Raw. That wasn't a pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then. How did you feel about, you said you felt like Backlash was the better pay-per-view than Clash of Champions?
Yeah, and I'm starting to think more and more that SmackDown is a better brand and is better run storyline. Just, I'm going to give you an example. Just like what happened at Backlash, you had a title change. At this one, you really had nothing. There was no drama. It was, like, predictable.
You know, of course,
and I saw that.
Real quick, I'll make this point. The sad thing is, if SmackDown starts winning in the ratings like they have been, you know what that means? We're going to see Triple H back a lot sooner than we thought, which I don't think anybody wants to see. Of course, that's just my opinion.
Oh, there are definitely some Triple H marks out there for sure. People who would
I
love
think
to see
after,
him.
After Clash of Champions, the way it went about, I think they're going to do the Canadian DX thing for a little bit longer, and we probably won't see Triple H until Survivor Series time. I don't think we'll see him at the next pay-per-view, which I believe is Hell in a Cell. We'll probably see him around, you know, we'll probably see him then to build up Survivor Series.
Now, if they're doing the PG era, I didn't understand that either. If they're doing the PG era, okay, and they don't want violence and they don't want any of that stuff, why are they doing a Hell in a Cell themed pay-per-view? I mean, that match is really the PC of a match that I've ever seen.
Well, I wonder how they're going to handle that. I mean, are they going to have Hell in a Cell with no blood? I mean, no shit.
Yeah, is that even possible, though, is my question. I mean, can you even have a Hell in a Cell with no blood? Or are they going to allow it for one night? You know, that's the $64,000 question right there.
I mean, that is probably the most physical grueling match next to the... Elimination Chamber that the WWE has ever came up with.
Oh, one quick thing about SmackDown and Raw. Like, I know you didn't see SmackDown last night, but this match was announced and, like, for No Mercy, the Miz versus Dolph Ziggler title for career. If Dolph doesn't win, he's done. No SmackDown, no Raw, no NXT, he's out the company. Like, just a simple storyline like that actually intrigued me, because you have someone like the Miz who's been red hot in terms of mic skills and the promo, that you actually think he's a credible champion. And someone like Ziggler, who's just been the dumb for the last few months, now he's like, hey, if I don't win this, I'm out of here. So now it makes you really intrigued to, watch that match.
Well, what's your prediction for that match?
I think Dolph wins. I think Dolph wins. As much as it pains me, I think he wins.
Well,
I don't think they
want to lose Ziggler. I mean, you know, I really don't think they want to see him go, you know. I mean, sure, he's more of a jobber lately, but, you know, he's still entertaining.
I noticed Jack Swagger's back on Raw. That's interesting.
Speaking of jobbers, do you really want to see Dolph Ziggler gone from the WWE?
I wouldn't care either way, honestly. He's not a figure to me that is a must-have. He's not a guy that, you know, blows the doors off for me. I could go either way on Ziggler. Like, honestly, I don't really care either. You know, I never really liked Ziggler. I always thought he was kind of a corny character, and, you know, I don't know. He never really done it for me personally.
Unless he's really hanging it up, and he doesn't, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why that he agreed to that, or where he said it. There's people maybe souring on him too, which is sad too. But
speaking of jobbers, real quick, why is Raw always having at least four jobber matches? Like, for a 3-hour show, you can't get all your talent to actually compete and wrestle like the way SmackDown does it?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I mean, I don't know.
SmackDown has more high-caliber matches than Raw has.
But again, they kind of have to, though. In 2 hours, they kind of got to crunch it in, you know? Whereas Raw, you know, 3 hours, guys, it's a long time.
It's a lot.
A long time. So they need to, you know, I need to find ways. I need to find ways to entertain people for 3 hours because, you know, you got Monday Night Football. You know, you had a debate. You have other things on TV on those nights. You've got to keep people stayed on the USA Network instead of flipping through the channels. But, you know, the jobber matches I don't think are the way to do it, honestly. But I just don't think that they have the talent right now. I think that as long as people are seeing in-ring action and they're seeing somebody getting tossed around like a rag doll, they'll stay on the station longer than if they just have a lot of talking segments. Because I think there's not really anybody on Raw right now other than Paul Heyman, and only he's occasionally, that really captivates me on the microphone. It really blows you away. You know, even Seth Rollins, I'm not super, you know, captivated by him on the mic. I'm more, you know, different. Whereas, you know, on SmackDown, AJ's a good talker. John Cena's probably the best talker we've seen since The Rock. You know, you've got The Miz, who's a good promo cutter. You know, so, I mean, obviously the Wyatts, Randy Orton. So, I mean, I just think SmackDown wins in a lot of different ways. Obviously the storyline, they have better mic workers, they have guys who are bigger names, I feel, over there. And it's just more, to me, it's more like Raw, like Jason said, sort of have taken a back seat a little bit to SmackDown Live. And it's kind of a shame because when it's your flagship program and it's a three-hour-long program and it's, you know, the longest-running episodic television show in history, which Michael Cole points out every week, and it is the, you know, the history and the big dog, the granddaddy of them all, Monday Night Raw, to be upstaged by a show that was designed from its onset to be, you know, a weaker show is kind of a shame. I mean, obviously those drafts, the drafts are predetermined, people. I mean, you know, they're not actually randomly drafting. They knew who was going where. Put a lot of that talent on Raw, but I do understand, like we pointed out, that SmackDown Live was brand new, and it was the first time live, and they wanted to get interest and build interest in it. And that's fine. I'm with that. But you've done essentially nothing to boost Raw. I mean, you just kept Raw the same, and you're making all these improvements on SmackDown and putting all these cool matches on SmackDown and all this, but you basically are ignoring the program that has really kept you relevant and made you all this money for 4 years.
Good point.
Well, here's a good point. Let me ask you guys this. How long do you think Mick Foley is going to stick around now?
Didn't we say Survivor Series?
Survivor Series?
I think possibly.
I think it might even be before that.
Well, the way the Clash of Champions ended with the Triple H and Stephanie kiss and the vision almost as if they're in cahoots, it might be a hostile takeover, sooner than we thought. I mean, we still have another full month, almost month and a half, until Survivor Series comes up, which is about anywhere from 4 to 6 Raw broadcasts. So I don't know. I really don't.
You know, and when they do decide to switch, you think it'll just be a takeover and he's fired, or do you think they'll come on and give him an ultimatum? Like, you have 30 days, or you have two weeks to turn Raw around. If not, you're fired. Are they just going to come in and just screw him completely?
Well, no. They will basically, I think what will happen is that it'll come out that the screwing of Seth Rollins was planned by Stephanie and Triple H. And I think Foley will investigate, Foley will get to the bottom of it, and Foley will expose it. And when Foley exposes it, he'll question Stephanie. She'll say no. The whole thing will have like a week or two, maybe three, but I think a week or two of him really having suspicions, weird things happening to Seth, Seth getting screwed in matches that left and right, this and that. You know, sporadic appearances of Triple H, like we saw with the limo and the kiss and the whole thing. And then Foley will finally be like, listen, you need to come clean. I have you on tape. I have this. I have that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you know, I guess he recorded a conversation or something, and he exposes it, and then Triple H comes out and goes, yeah, it was me, so what are you going to do about it? And he's like, you're not going to fight me, you're a washed-up old man. And Foley's like, well, you know, I'm standing up for what's right. And Triple H says, you have two options. You can resign or I can fire you. And obviously Foley's not going to resign, so Triple H beats the hell out of him and then fires him. And, I mean, that's what goes through my head. I don't know if that's what they'll actually do, but I think that would be the most interesting storyline if Foley decides to play detective for 2 weeks.
I have another twist on it. See what you guys think about this. That it's going to turn out that, yeah, Stephanie and Triple H were in cahoots, but I think there's going to be a mystery guy that was involved too.
Do you know who that mystery guy is that I'm thinking of?
No, we don't.
Roman Reigns.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how would that play out?
Well, it's going to turn out like, okay, yeah, you guys thought we were against them this whole time, and you guys fed into it, and then that'll cause Roman Reigns to turn heel, which fans are booing him anyway, and turn Seth Rollins to the ultimate good guy. Something is going to happen where Roman Reigns is going to be part of this Seth Rollins screwing thing. I just have that feeling. And then eventually it's going to be they're going to turn on Kevin Owens too.
Yeah, it's going to be whoever they decide they want the champion to be. And yeah, eventually I think they will screw over Kevin Owens, but I think they will leave the belt on that roly-poly for a lot longer than is necessary. I mean, he'll be the champ for quite some time, I have a feeling.
You guys don't like the Canadian DX?
I like him as a heel. I don't know if I like him as my world champion, but again, he's growing on me a little bit in certain regards. I mean, we all know how the icon feels about him, but I don't know. I don't know if I want him as my champion, quite frankly. But again, I look at this Raw roster and I go, well, who the hell else could it be besides Seth? So I don't know. You know,
I'm a little interested to see Survivor Series because they're pretty much doing it like how they did SummerSlam weekend in Brooklyn, where you're going to have NXT take over from Toronto, then the Survivor Series itself from Toronto and Monday Night Raw the next night. Now, Toronto, that's where Kevin Owens is from. That's all, you know, Jericho's Canadian too. So I'm really interested to see how they built up this Canadian kind of DX thing because I think they're going to be together glued to the hip for quite some time coming.
Well, do you think Survivor Series would be Team Raw versus Team SmackDown? Or would it be something even more interesting if they built this properly?
I think it will be Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, but just look at you probably get the two main belts that are going to be decided.
Yeah, but there's two ways to do this here, though. They could do SmackDown saying that they're the better show than Raw and putting on all this thing, and Raw saying, no, we're still the flagship, and sort of having a little bit of a competitive rivalry over the next 6 months. What I think would be interesting is that each show obviously break into their storyline, and during this whole thing with the Authority and screwing over Seth and things like that and things happening to other superstars, I think it would be cool if they had a Team Foley, Team Hunter, or Team Authority. And if the Authority team beats the Foley team, Foley's gone. But if the Foley team wins, obviously Foley stays and the Authority's no more. And then on SmackDown, you know, you have Team Bryant versus Team I think that maybe you drive a rift between Shane and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan wants to take over. Shane doesn't want to give him that power. You have Team Bryant, Team Shane, based on who they're loyal to. One of the two has got to go. Either that or those two can just competitively put it together as joshing buddies and just be like, hey, man, you know, who you putting together for your team. I bet you I could collect better superstars than you. And Shane's like, no, I bet you, you know, guys would come to my side more, blah, blah, blah. And just have it be like a fun competitive rivalry on that side, but have it mean a lot more on the Raw side with the Foley and Authority teams. That might be kind of cool. Although I don't know if they have time for two separate six-man tag matches, though, but, you know, who knows?
Well, you know,
or ten-man tags, when, whatever they are.
Yeah, well, you know, it used to be four on four. I remember when SmackDown first arrived. It was this team versus this team, this team versus this team. Thanksgiving Eve. It was the best thing that we used to do before Thanksgiving was watch the pay-per-view that Wednesday before Thanksgiving Thursday. Now it's on Sundays, and they don't have any. You know, it's not. I don't even know why they call it Survivor Series, because it's not. It's you know, it's not what it used to be. You know, that's what I miss about Survivor Series is the four-man tag matches. You know, I wish they would go back to that. You know, but
yeah, I wish
here,
they would do that to a lot of people. They will.
Or here's something else they might do. You mentioned, you know, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, right?
Yes.
They could have it captained by Stephanie and Mick Foley on one, Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan on the other, and then they do some kind of stipulation like if we win, you know, we can have this guy, this guy, and this guy, or vice versa, something like that. You know, make it worth something, you know, instead of just, you know, fighting for fighting's sake.
I hear you. I'm in the way. I'll see you if you're still here when I get back. Oh, no, I hear you.
Jason Stiller?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Are we all?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here. I'm just, I'm eating.
Ah, nice. Mm. Hope it's not booty-os.
Well,
no, I found,
You're having your last bowl of booty-os before the weekend.
No, I ordered Domino's. I ordered today, and I forgot to put it in the fridge, and I left like a slice or two out in the box on my living room table, and I just found it, and I took a bite of it to see if it was moldy or not, but it's good.
Well, oh. Domino's are pretty good. They're pretty durable.
Yeah.
Just like the New Day.
I
can't believe the New Day are still tag team champs.
Wait, hey, you know, Jason, you weren't. Here's what's going to happen. They are not going to have New Day lose the titles until they break the record held by Demolition for 438 days of champions. Then they'll change titles, but not until that record is broken.
Well, Jason, you said you think it's time to get off of the club now.
I think what this is what I would do if I was a writer for WWE. I would put the club on SmackDown. Let them be with AJ. Let them do their thing.
You know how I would do this if I was the writer? I would be so frustrated, basically, with everything going on with the New Day, that they go, you know what? We're so frustrated, we're done. We can't do this. And they'd be free agents for a couple weeks, or a week or two, whatever it may be. SmackDown picks them up, and then do it that way. So you could have the club Beast and quit Raw and then do it that way, but then who would you give Raw back or
hey.
Right now,
because that's two people you'd be down in that sense.
Yeah, right now let's look at the quick state of tag team wrestling in the WWE. Raw's got New Day as champions for 403 days. You have the Goose on SmackDown, Rhino and Mr. I just bought a pool for my trailer. I mean, but I will say
Zack
one
Ryder?
Thing, though.
Woo, woo, woo.
No, it's not Zack Ryder. It's
Rhino's Zack Ryder, isn't he?
No.
Oh, no. He's Slater. He's Slater, not Zack Ryder.
He's Slater.
He's Slater. Yeah, that's correct. Sorry.
I will say one thing. I've hated Heath Slater up until last night. last night he actually showed some good wrestling skills that I didn't think that he had in that four tag team matchup. I didn't think Heath Slater had wrestling moves like that inside him, you know. But
well,
he impressed.
Well, you know, I think Heath Slater has always had that kind of stuff and that ability. I just think that, you know, the way that he has been written into storyline, and he's always been written other. Oh, sorry guys, I keep hitting. I'm driving here, so it's tough. Other than, you know, written in the Nexus when he was only really a second fiddle in the Nexus, you know. You know, because obviously the stars of Nexus were, you know, was CM Punk. He's always been a jobber. He's been a glorified spirit member. I think that now he's finally on his own again. He's not a member of a group anymore, and I think he's now got the capability to sort of showcase. He's got the platform to be able to showcase some of that stuff. And I think he's finally, you know, finally doing it.
And you're right. And, it's about time. Because if you remember, there was a time when Raw was celebrating its whatever thousand show, whatever the hell it was. And Heath Slater would come on.
Guys, I'm
going to
step away for 1 second. I've got to run into a gas station. So you guys banter this. I'll be right back. Hang on.
Okay, Jason, are you there? Okay, so I'm by myself. The Icon is taking this thing over right now. Of course, it's kind of hard to, everybody knows me, that I can carry a conversation with myself, even though sometimes I've had better conversations with Cheese. But as you all know, we're usually on Monday nights, and this is the number one rated wrestling talk show on the internet. We have the Big Swig, McSwiggin' Chris. We have Sexual Chocolate Jason, who is taking time to have a bowl of Bootios right now. Chris is running into the store. You know, it's like, how could you not enjoy a show like this? But right now, it's just me. It's kind of hard to do a show when there's no one to interact with. So, well, we'll wait till Chris gets back, and then Jason has issues with a cell phone sometimes because he's in an area where the cell phone signal's not very good. But, we're here to entertain you, and we're going to keep entertaining you when we go back to our regular nights on Mondays. But we want to start having people call in and interact with us. You guys got to start calling into us. And
okay,
of course,
ladies, I am back.
It was just me the whole time. I don't know what happened to Jason.
Oh, maybe it was a connection issue again or something. I mean, we're going to probably cut in a couple minutes anyway because I'm driving into work and, you know, we've covered our topics. But let me ask you this. You watched the debate, right? We won't go into politics right now. Well, we won't go into politics right now on the show. I mean, obviously, you've made it very clear, you know, who you're voting for and all that. We won't go into all that. More so, do you think it was a dumb idea for Raw to – well, actually, I don't think it was a dumb idea because Raw's been on Mondays forever, and Raw's always going to be on Mondays. The fact that the debate was on Monday, do you think that Raw was a pretty lackluster show because they knew they weren't really going to get ratings because the debate was on?
No question.
They didn't really put the effort in. They didn't really try.
No question. It was, I mean, there's been some lame Raws, but when you end it the way they did, come on, really? Seriously. You know?
I think they knew.
But I know we don't want to talk politics, but I'm firmly in the Hillary camp after this last debate.
Well, I think you were firmly in the Hillary camp anyway, weren't you?
Yeah. But see, next Monday, I got a debate because the Vikings play the Giants.
Ooh. Well, I mean, Jason and I can hold down the ropes if you want to watch the game. I mean, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. I'm not gonna give up my star status. I can do all three. I mean, you're talking about a guy that can drive
special.
A car. Yeah.
Hey guys, did you guys talk about the blunder that the Raw caused this weekend? The whole 7 series ending up in a tie.
Oh yeah, stupid. But now they're a tag team together.
And now they're a tag team. Like, this is the best they could have come up with?
And here's what's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they both suck. I've never been a Cesaro fan, and Sheamus, in my opinion, is washed up. So, I mean, I don't know. I think the only thing they could do here is make him a tag team. If they didn't want to give one or the other the edge in the series, what else are you going to do, you know? I mean, now they have mutual respect for each other and that whole shebang, so who knows?
If you guys remember, though, the last tag team that was together that hated each other was Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker. And they were champions, and they didn't like each other.
No, that was 99, right?
Yeah.
I remember that's when Austin wore that sweet white pinstripe jersey that said Austin on it, and he got the blood dumped on him. I liked that. Was awesome.
Yep.
But anyway,
take team like that was the Rock and Sock connection.
Well, I think that they grew to like each other later on as they started to team a bit. But yeah, at first they definitely didn't. But you know. Are we going to see? I really want to see it. Do you think that there's any chance that if this Triple H thing happens and there is a, you know, a sort of a hostile takeover that, you know, obviously when Triple H tries to beat down Foley before he fires him, Foley fights back. Do you think there's a chance that we see Sacco again? Mr. Sacco?
I hope so.
I hope so as well. That would be really or do you think that there's a chance? I mean, Jason, you might know this, and Icon, you might know this. We got a couple minutes left here. Do you think Foley's in good enough shape to compete? Because if Triple H wants to be vindictive and put him in a match, and book him in a match, do you think Foley could still wrestle one more match?
I don't know. He has lost a step. But, of course, you're talking to a guy that's had his brain scrambled so many times by chair shots, I don't think it's going to matter.
That's true. And I never really thought Foley was all that great of a wrestler anyway. I mean, all he could really do is punch. You know, I mean, he wasn't a technical guy. He didn't really have any moves. He could do a DDT every once in a while, you know. But he was just a brawler. That's what Mankind and Mick Foley has always been. He was just a guy who was crazy, who would go over the top and, you know, jump off the top rope in a wheelchair and all that stuff, you know. So he was never really a guy that had a lot of technical stuff. He was never, in my opinion, like if you're a wrestling purist and you're a wrestling, you know, a technical, put it this way, guys who loved Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit are going to hate guys like Mick Foley, because Foley really couldn't do anything in the ring. And that's why he was always in hardcore matches, because that was really the only thing he was capable of doing, was swinging a chair and acting crazy, you know. So who knows? I kind of feel bad for Foley. I mean, they treated him like a, you know, like a punching bag for, you know, for the entire Attitude Era for the most part. I mean, he was a glutton for punishment. But you know, it was entertaining TV, and that's what they failed to come up with the last, I don't know, half decade or so.
True. No argument,
you know,
here.
I mean,
I mean, I think everyone loves Foley, but everyone loves Foley getting his ass kicked. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people fell in love for Mick Foley because he was always getting his ass kicked, and he would always keep coming back for more. And then that's what they loved about him. And you know, now I think that they're kind of like, all right, you know, Mick Foley. And then when he was commissioner, you know, when he came back in 02 and 01 and then 02, and he was commissioner, he would do goofy things. He would have the weird offices. He would have, you know, his weird catchphrases. And they, you know, people loved him because he was like he was like an oversized child, okay? And that's why they liked Mick Foley. Now he's all regal and pristine and professional. And I don't like this Foley. I like the overgrown child Foley, you know? So, and I don't know. I mean, it's to me, WWE is not what it was. To me, I watch it because, you know, I've always been a wrestling fan. I grew up a wrestling fan, and, you know, I love to live in fantasy world and get into the storylines. But, man, oh, man, I mean, it's real tough. It's real tough to watch it and follow it. But I've said it week after week after week. I think we were spoiled by the Attitude Era. I think we were, you know, spoiled by some of the best storylines and best crazy shit that happened in, you know, in wrestling history, whether it was WCW, whether it was WWF. Because, again, Attitude Era is not just WWF. The Attitude Era was just that time period. And that time period in WCW was crazy, too. So, you know, who the hell knows? But, I mean, I really like that crazy unpredictability. And you can do it without blood. You can do it without weapons and chair shots and whatever. You just got to make it interesting. I mean, you don't see people walking around, you know, beating the hell out of each other and hitting them with steel chairs and driving Zambonis on soap operas and on sitcoms and on drama shows. But people watch those, you know, people get into those series. Why? Because they're written well and they have interesting things and they keep people on the hook. And that's just really what they're lacking right now. So if Icon is correct and they are listening to us, you know, maybe they should, you know, take some notes here.
Yeah, and hire us as writers. We're up for hire. I mean, come on, seriously.
I'm telling you, if you gave me one night to write a Monday Night Raw, I would make the most interesting Monday Night Raw you've ever seen. Hands down, I guarantee it. I will put my life savings on it. So, you know, that's just me. That's just me. In fact, with the talent on each show right now, I would actually much rather write for SmackDown. I mean, I know Raw needs it more, but I would actually much rather write for SmackDown. But that's just because of the particular talent that they have. So, again, for those listeners that are out here tonight, again, we do apologize for dragging you away from whatever the hell else you're doing on a Wednesday. We've been so busy that, you know, we had to do another specialty show this week. This was another special focus show, just really talking about the pay-per-view, Raw, and SmackDown, all of which happened within the last 3 days. And we're going to be back on schedule, as far as I know, on Monday. I don't really have anything else planned for Monday. I know Icon's got Monday Night Football, but he claims he can do both. So, you know, we'll see. But as of right now, yes, 100% Monday, same time as every week. We do apologize for any inconvenience that the Wednesday may have caused you. And we do appreciate your listening. I consider there are a few new listeners out there tonight. And we always try to bring you an interesting show, an in-depth show, a thoughtful show, but also with some passion, a little bit of bitchiness here and there, and some pizzazz. So hopefully we brought that. I wanted to thank Jason for stopping in. I know he's been busy. He's on his way to work. On his way home from work. I think he's going on the subway or something. I'm heading into work. In fact, I'm driving. That's why I sound like I'm sitting in a bubble right now. And, you know, Icon is sitting home ready to mingle. You know, he's ready to get after it on a Wednesday night. So whatever he does on his Wednesday nights is his prerogative, but I think he's ready to do that. Last thing I got to ask you, though, before we do this. Do you think, now they haven't done it yet, and we all predicted that we were going to see it much sooner than now. Survivor Series icon. This is the final note. Survivor Series. Are we going to see a Shield reunion? This yes or no prediction.
Well, according to what I said earlier, I would think not now, but I'm hoping it is, but I would say no now.
Okay. And I'm going to say yes, and the reason I think that is because if they do a Raw versus SmackDown show, okay, and they do a Raw versus SmackDown team, okay? It's going to come down to Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Kevin Owens. And they're going to put Kevin Owens in a position to win that match for Team Raw, okay? And it's going to be Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns screwing over Kevin Owens and holding up Dean Ambrose's hand, sort of turning their back on what the Authority tried to do. And it seems SmackDown's going to win, but because the Shield helped them do it just to screw over the Authority, who I think will be in power by then. That is my take on what I would do and what I think would happen, because I think you got to bring the Shield back. You got to bring a little energy back. You got to bring a little bit of passion and fanfare back. And, I mean, add to, you know, a stable that was worth a shit. I mean, obviously, New Day, in my opinion, is not. So that's what I would do. Have the Authority try to, you know, interfere and have Roman and Seth screw them over and have, you know, maybe have Roman spear Kevin Owens and then Seth Rollins hit the pedigree and pull Dean Ambrose on top of him, roll out of the ring, have Dean Ambrose pin, boom, it's over. That's after they've already been eliminated, of course. And have that be the thing, and then have Survivor Series end with Roman and Seth holding up Dean's arm and the three of them standing together in the ring to end Survivor Series. I think that would be a badass ending to Survivor Series. Just my opinion.
Well, they're listening. Now it's going to happen.
Well, I would hope so, because that is a million-dollar idea right there. So I really hope it does, and I really hope that they write me a paycheck because of it. So anyways, we will be back taking you through the end of Raw, as we always do on Monday, brought to you by Caged Combat. It is the Combat Recap. And we're going to talk a little UFC. We're going to talk about Raw. And we're going to talk about how bad Raw is potentially going to be. And we're going to talk about how good SmackDown is potentially going to be. So hopefully Raw impresses me this week. They don't have a debate to compete with. They do have Monday Night Football, but it's the Vikings and Giants. No one really cares about either of those two teams. So we are going to you heard me. So you have the Vikings with Sam Bradford and without Adrian Peterson, and you have a Giants team that showed their true colors on Sunday. That's not a Monday night game I think people are going to care about. So join us on Monday, off the ropes here, Overtime.news, the Icon, Mr. Cordner, and myself. We will see you Monday. And, you know, I had to do it. I had to do it. I have to do it. Let me see if it works. Is it going to work? No, it's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is I don't have internet because I'm driving. Ah, damn it. All right, never mind. What I was going to do was I was going to do the Edge theme music to close us out.
Oh, jeez, how did you know that?
Yeah, but instead we're going I don't have internet in the car right now because I'm driving, and I got my laptop up in the passenger seat, which is not safe. So we're just going to fade to black like the Sopranos, and we will see you on Monday.
See ya.